This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. There's three passages I'm going to get you to look at tonight. And there's two words that I said Sunday night that I want to play off of and use tonight. And these are the words: fear not. Fear not. Say that with me. Fear not. One more time. Fear not. Genesis chapter number 15, verse number 1. If you are a Bible student, there's something you need to know. That is, the book of Genesis is what we call the seed plot of the Bible. What does that mean? It means that everything that occurs everywhere else in the Bible, every doctrine, every idea, every mindset, it all is rooted in the book of Genesis. For instance, when you think about the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus, when you think about Christ, the Lamb of God, where does that come from? That goes all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter number 3, whenever Adam and Eve sin in the garden, and God takes for them and covers them in the skins of animals. Remember, what did they sew together? They sewed together leaves. They sewed together a coat of their own making, but God had to shed the blood of an animal in order to cover them. That is the lamb. That is the seed plot. The first time you ever see blood being spilled in the Bible, it is in Genesis. So then, therefore, every major truth and doctrine, you're going to find it in the book of Genesis, okay? Here in our chapter, in chapter 15, verse number 1, we see for the very first time the phrase, fear not. Genesis 15, 1, we see where it says, fear not to Abram. Now, I'm going to read this verse here in a moment, but what you've got to understand is God is going to address something that's going to pop up in the heart of humanity until Christ redeems us fully at the rapture. Until Christ comes for the church, until He does away with the new and brings in the new heaven and the new earth, there is something that pops up that you and I deal with on an everyday occurrence. It is this feeling or emotion we call fear. Now, where does fear first make its ugly appearance? Well, hold your place there and go back to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 and look at verse number 10. Now, hold on. I'm going somewhere. You all are checking out on me before we even get to our destination. In Genesis 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says, now remember what's just happened. Adam and Eve have taken of the forbidden fruit. They have eaten of this forbidden fruit. Now, here's a little side note. Here's an interesting little side note. This is not found in the Bible, so we do not take it as truth. There is an extra biblical writing called the Apocalypse of Moses. This is an extra biblical. This is not in the canon of Scripture. But that doesn't mean it's not true, but we just don't take it as truth. There's a big difference there, all right? But this is what it says. It says that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that Eve was tricked by the serpent. She then takes of the fig. They believe it was a fig tree. She takes of the fig and gives it to Adam. And that is why in the New Testament book, when Jesus comes out of Jerusalem, He curses two things, remember? He turns over the money changer's table and He curses the temple. He says, this temple, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. He then goes out of Jerusalem and He looks at the fig tree and He said, cursed be this tree because it did not bear fruit in its time. Jewish writers say, the early church fathers say, the reason He cursed the fig tree is because that is the tree that Adam and Eve ate of in Genesis 3. That doesn't matter. Don't ever teach that. I just give that to you because one day all of this stuff is going to come together. But notice in Genesis 3 verse 10, and He said, I heard thy voice. This is Adam. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Fear comes because of our sin. Fear was not an original thing. God did not create His creation for us to fear. We were not meant to operate in fear. Yet I imagine that every person in this room, we make most of the decisions we make because we are afraid. We have some sort of fear. Now let me just put this, because you all are looking at me like, how am I in the world? What is he talking about? Let me give you a little tidbit. Brothers and sisters, I believe I am of the old-fashioned persuasion. You ought to pray about everything you do. I believe you ought to get God's direction on every car you buy. I believe you ought to get direction on the houses you buy. I believe you ought to get, listen, I even have gotten to where I pray over clothing. Before I buy, Lord, is this the suit you want me to buy? Is this what I need to do? Do you know why? Because, now don't look at me with your little spiritual radar on me. I've made enough bad decisions and had to eat the fruit of those bad decisions far too many times for me to operate in my own understanding. Now here is the point. You and I make decisions that look a lot like this. You know what? My car is getting some age on it, and I'm afraid it's going to start causing me trouble. So what do? We go take that car and we trade it in without praying about it. Now, I'm not telling you not to get a car. What I am saying is instead of praying about decisions, we operate off of the fact, I'm afraid this is going to happen, so I'm going to do this. Now, that is an odd little illustration that doesn't really conjure up a lot of... I can tell y'all ate that one up, because I can tell many of you have done that. But here is the point. We will do those things, and we will make a decision and say, you know what, I think I can afford that. And then 4, 5, 6 months down the road, something big comes up, and we're having to figure out how we're going to pinch pennies together in order to pay for these things. Do you know why? Because we did not operate in the wisdom of the Spirit. We operated off of our own understanding, which is based and reasoned in fear, and we made a foolish decision. Now, here's what you've got to understand. What is fear? Here it is. This is the definition you need to understand about fear. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous. I've got to get a different car. I think this one's going to break down. Well, we're not afraid of the car, are we? We're afraid of the situation it's going to put us in. We're afraid it's going to be put, because it never breaks down when it's 65 and sunny, does it? No, ma'am. It always breaks down when there's a 4 foot of snow on the ground and the four-wheel drive won't go into the lock, and or it's 1,000 degrees outside. And does it not always happen like this? On the one day you didn't put on decent clothes, you didn't put your makeup on, you didn't even put shoes on. My boy asked me this morning, yesterday, we were going to get our hair cut. He said, Daddy, do I need to wear shoes? And I thought, nah, you ain't got to wear. And I thought, no. Go ahead and put your clothes on. In fact, go ahead and get a bath, because I don't want me and you to have to call AAA. And we have to meet a wrecker and them to think I have got a chimpanzee in my family. So here we operate off of this fear, but we're afraid of a dangerous decision or a dangerous situation, or we believe that something is going to be painful or threatening to us. We have this mindset that if I don't do this, this is going to happen. Or if I don't say this to this, now we're going to get down where the rubber meets the road. Or if I don't act like this toward this person, they're going to get angry and I'm going to have to deal with this. Am I talking now? You understand? If I don't go see them on this holiday, I'm going to have to deal with it until this holiday, if I forget this occasion, whether it's right or wrong, we don't operate in right or wrong. We operate based off of fear. Well, I know it's not the best thing for my family, but if I don't, so-and-so is going to be mad. I talked to a preacher just the other day, and it's what he said. He said, "Preacher," he said, "this church is literally killing my family. Everything my wife does, they mouth. They get mad at my children over everything. My boy doesn't even want to go to church anymore. My little girl doesn't want to have anything to do." He said, "My oldest child is getting ready to get married. And I do believe that when she gets married, they're going to be gone and I'll never see them again at church." I said, "I'll tell you what you do. You stand up on Sunday morning and say, 'Folks, I love you, but you're killing me. You're killing my family. Peace.'" He said, "I can't do that. I can't do that." I said, "Why not?" He said, "We won't be able to afford our house payment." I said, "You just told me those people are the devil. They're not saved. They don't want to be around you and your family. And your kids are going to hate God over this thing. And you're telling me you are..." He said, "I'm afraid we'll lose our house." Right or wrong, what are we operating off of? Listen to me. It's easy looking at that person, but when it comes to us, it's awful hard. I'm hurt my feelings right now. Isn't this the classic excuse? You'll look at me and tell me, "You ought not do that. Don't let them do that to you. Don't let them operate like that. But when I look at you, the first thing you say is, "But you don't understand." Or we love this excuse. "Well, I tried that." We operate off of fear. Fear is this thing that is not of God. Say that. It's not of God. Say it. It's not of God. There are four kinds of fear. I believe I have these. I'm not sure if I put them up there. There are four kinds of fear in your Bible. Holy fear. This is the kind of fear that we have toward God. In the Bible, you'll see God show up in a place and the people will fall on their face. And they'll say, "Thou art a terrible God." Even the way we relate to God, we do it a lot of times based off of fear. Watch this. We'll say this. We'll say, "I can't go do that because I'm afraid of what God will do." Listen, there's a thousand different times I don't go do something because I don't want God to strike me dead. Anybody else? Am I talking to anybody else? There's some things I say, "Ain't no way I'll ever do that." You see, God never made us to operate off of fear like that. You know why God tells me? He says, "Tyler, don't go do that. Not because you're afraid of me, but because you love me." Can I tell you why I honestly remember Mother's Day every single year? Because one year I did not remember Mother's Day for my wife. And boys, what I experienced on that day has driven me to remember it every other day. You know why I ought to remember every Mother's Day? Because my wife's a good mother. I ought to do it based off of a good... See, that's the way God created us. Holy fear in the Bible, you'll see it. Number two, heartbreak fear. I call this the kind of fear that comes because we've done something wrong and we know that something bad is coming because of that wrong. And so do you know what we often do? We sow these seeds into this world and we start begging God, "God, please let there be crop failure." We sow to the wind and we beg God not to make us reap the whirlwind. That's heartbreak fear. That's the kind of fear that comes when we live a certain way our entire lives, live a certain way with our kids our entire lives. Then they get grown, and then all of a sudden we start saying, "God, please do this. Please." We're operating because we know what we've done, and we're begging God to change it. Now, how is that wrong? Here's why. God never wanted us to beg Him for crop failure or to undo something because we're afraid we know the outcome. He wants us to want Him to get glory. "God, change my child's heart so that they will glorify You." Here's the third fear. The third fear is what I call human fear. This is the fear of man. I'm not going to do this because I know them. Or I better talk to so-and-so because if I don't, they'll get angry. I can't say that to that family member, even though it's the truth. You know them. You know how they are. Anybody got one of them in their family? Sure we do. We all do, beloved. Every one of us. And it's this human fear. And it's not bad when it keeps you from being foolish. It is bad when it keeps you from being honest. The fourth fear is what I call heartfelt fear. Listen, this is that mysterious feeling that hits you out of nowhere and you're just afraid. Have you ever been sitting in a chair in your bed and all of a sudden it's as if your insides turn over and you have to actually think, what am I afraid of? What am I worried about right now? How many of you ever felt that? Sure. Now raise them up high. Now I want you to hold them up. Here's why. It's why I want everybody to look at that. Look around. Look around. I'm the same way. This is my point. The devil will hit you and make you think you're the only one that does that. You're the only one that feels that way. That's not true. This is a universal thing we all deal with. Fear is powerful. Fear is universal. Fear is real. But you and I were never meant to operate off of fear. We were never meant to obey God based off of fear. We were never meant to do what we do based off of fear. And this, in the book of Genesis, here's what you're going to find. In the seed plot of the Bible, what you're going to find is there are three times God Himself says, fear not. It comes out of the mouth of God to His people. And this is going to be the basis through the rest of the Bible why you and I are not to be afraid. Why you and I are not to fear. There's three things. They are the foundation of everything else in the Bible when God comes along and says, fear not. So here are the three reasons why, foundational reasons why God looks at you wherever you are at, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're going through. These are the three foundational reasons why you and I fear not. Say it, fear not. Say it, fear not. Number one, because God is our protector. God is our protector. Genesis 15, our verse that we looked at, first of all, Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. Genesis 15, listen to what he says. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a dream, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He says, Abram, do not be afraid because I am your shield. Now, that word shield, if you make notes in your Bible, circle that word shield and slide a line off to the side. If you've got a Scofield Bible, probably go off to the right or to the left and make a note and put this, baby shield. Baby shield. A baby shield. What's a baby shield? Well, in warfare, there are two kinds of shields. Two kinds. Number one, there is what you and I would understand as a big boy shield. It's the kind of shield that people on the front lines carry, and it's the size of a man. You've seen them in the Roman warfare. They had those. In the Bible, normally when you read your King James Bible, when you see the word shield, that's what that's referring to. Big boy shield. Top to bottom. Therefore, you can stand that thing up. And here's what they would do. The archers would have those big shields and they would carry them into battle with their bow across their back. They would take their spear and they would prop that big boy shield up on that spear. And they could stand behind that shield and they could fire their arrows up and over and they would be shielded their entire... You understand what I'm saying? Then there's what I call baby shield. That is the Hebrew word right here. It's called a magen. M-A-G-E-N. M-A-G-E-N. Now, if those of you that have been with me to the Holy Land, if you remember in Jerusalem, there was a ambulance, you would see ambulance, I call them ambulances, but whatever you want to call them, you would see the ambulance, and on the side of the ambulance, it would say Megan or Moggin Adam. And Moggin means shield, Adam means man. That's what that is, the shield for man. They were the paramedics that would come and would guard you when you were sick. That's what the understanding of that is. Now, how many of you have ever seen the Israeli flag? It's got the Star of David. That's called a Moggin. That's the Moggin of Israel. That's the shield of Israel. Now, when I said a baby shield, remember, got the big boy shield, top to bottom. But the baby shield, that's the kind of shield that a man could hold on his arm and could fight you with the other hand. So he could yield, he could render his shield with that arm and fight you with the other hand. It just covered the vital area of the heart, of the lungs. Now, how does that, look at what it says. God tells Abraham, he says, Abram, I am thy baby shield. Lord, that's wonderful, but what if the devil doesn't take a swipe at my heart? What if the devil tries to cut me off at the legs? If you got a baby shield, that's not going to do you a bit of good. Lord, it's wonderful if that shield covers my heart. What about my head? But watch this. Whenever you saw a big boy's shield, there may or may not be somebody with that shield. But every time you saw one of the baby shields, the Moggins, you knew one thing about that. If I saw the baby shield, somebody had to be holding that shield. If I saw a baby shield, that shield did not come to battle by itself. It came with somebody that had a strong arm that was going to be. Now, here's what God says. He says, Abraham, he says, I am thy shield. He says, I'm thy Moggin. Now, watch this. If God is my shield, it's not just the round thing protecting me from the enemy. It is God himself that's holding the shield. Now, here is the point. Why am I not afraid of other people? Why am I not afraid of sickness? Why am I not afraid of all of this stuff going on? Now, hear me very carefully. Because you're not afraid doesn't mean you act like an idiot. That doesn't mean you act like a fool. You say, I'm not afraid of this sickness. That doesn't mean you go lick a subway rail. That doesn't mean you don't wash your hands. That doesn't mean foolishness. It just means I refuse to operate in fear. I refuse to be guided by this feeling. I'm going to operate in reality. I'm out of milk. I'm not going to go try to hope that God will send me milk down my chimney. I'm going to get myself up, get in my vehicle, and go to Harris Teeter. Why? Because God is my protector. And here's what you've got to understand. If you do everything what you're supposed to do, if you don't act like a fool, if you do everything like you're supposed to do it, and you still get sick, guess what, brothers and sisters? It was God's will for you to get sick. And if it was God's will for me to get sick, I could be holed up in a bubble on the back side of my closet, and there'd have been a little germ bug that have floated its way through the air, gotten into that closet, and got me. Whenever you operate in fear, you are stepping out from behind the shield. But when I or you, as the people of God, operate in common sense and say, Lord, I'm following you, I'm trusting you. This is why we do not fear, because God is our protector. He's the one that keeps us safe. People tell me, do you drive a car? What a stupid question. They say, well, do you trust God? Yes. Well, then why do you wear a seatbelt? Because I don't trust other people. What if you're in a wreck? Then I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure I'm doing what I should be doing. I'll do my part. God will do his part. That's what it means to fear not. Therefore, people will say, I think I need to step out in faith. God's leading me to step out in faith, but I just don't know if I can afford to do it. You give the faith and God will make the way. Why? Because it is God that holds the shield. He's your protector. Number two, because God has heard our prayer. Let's go to Genesis 21, verse number 17. Genesis 21, verse number 17. And I'm quick. That was my biggest point, number one. Here's my number two. Number two, Genesis 21, verse number 17. Verse number 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar?" What's the next phrase? "Fear not." Quick story, Hagar has been the wife of Abraham. He's been the concubine of Abraham. And Sarah has had her son Isaac and sends Hagar out of the camp. She gets out into the wilderness. She runs out of water and she looks at her son Ishmael, tells him to walk a long way away because she's afraid that she's going to have to listen to the cries and whimpers of her boy. And she says, "God, I can't stand to watch him die. I can't even tolerate. I can't handle thinking about him thirst to death." And God comes down in the form of the angel of the Lord and says, "Hagar, what are you so afraid of?" And she says, "Lord, I'm afraid we're going to starve. I'm afraid we're going to thirst to death." He says, "Hagar, fear not, for the voice of the lad has been heard." This is what God said. "Hagar, you don't have to be afraid because the boy has asked me to take care of you all, and I will take care of you." And I look at the families of people that are dealing with things. I look at Heather and I look at these kids, and people say, "How can we help?" And we will. But I do not fear, because there's enough people praying and they're begging God, "Make a way where there is no way. Take care of the need when we don't know what to do." People say, "Will God do it?" Here's the answer to that question. You answer that question with a question: does God hear our prayers? If the answer to that is yes, then we fear not. We don't have to be afraid. People say, "I really feel like God wants me to leave this job and go out. I don't even know where to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." If God is a prayer answering God, fear not. Explain it. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Here's my third point. Let's go to chapter 26 and verse number 24. Preacher, why do we not fear? Genesis 26, verse 24. This is the last time in the book of Genesis God says, "Fear not." It's not the last time the phrase appears. The phrase appears 9 times in the book of Genesis. But 3 times it's spoken by God. The phrase "fear not" occurs 63 times in your Bible. Now, chapter 26... verse 24. "And the Lord appeared unto him," this is Isaac, "the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." Isaac had said, "God, I don't know. I can't have a child. My wife cannot conceive. I don't know how we're going to carry on the promise of Messiah, how we're going to have the seed." And this is the third reason why you and I do not have to be afraid. Here it is, number three: because God is the source of our provision. God is the source of our provision. Brothers and sisters, may I ask you a question? Why is it we won't step out in faith? "Well, I'm afraid I'll starve to death." Who do you think gave you the food the first 35 years of your life? "Oh, I'm afraid to do this." Why? I have preachers all the time. Let me talk to you for just a second. I know I ain't preached to you people on Wednesday night in many weeks. Let me just get just this point in. I have young preachers call me all the time, and they say, "I really feel like I need to leave my job and go out full time and preach in evangelism, or go pastor this little church and leave my job. I feel like I need to do that." And they don't have kids in their family, and they say, "I feel like I need to do that." And I said, "Why are you talking to me? I just want to know if God can do it. Why are you talking to me? Well, will God do it? Why are you talking to me? I don't understand why we trust God to a certain point. Do you really think that we are the ones that built this building? You really think we're the ones that supply the... We're just pawns in the hand of God. It's God that gives us everything we have. God is the source of our provision. That's why he looks at us and he says this, "Fear not." Now here is where I'm going tonight. Here is my question. What is that thing that the devil haunts you with in the midnight hour? What is that insecurity that keeps you from stepping out in faith? What is that thing you say, "I just don't know if I'm able. I just don't know if I can't." What is that thing keeps you? Whatever that thing is, God looks at us and he says, "Fear not. Fear not." Brothers and sisters, I should have preached this message Sunday night. This was the word God gave me for Sunday night, and I preached the message on whatever I preached Sunday night. And I may have missed the boat for somebody, and I apologize for that, but I'm telling you, we cannot operate in fear. It may be a word that you should have spoken to a family member, but you're afraid of how they're going to respond. You fast and pray and ask God to give you wisdom, he will. And if they get mad, guess whose fault it is? The Bible looks at the people of God and says, "Fear not." I still don't think y'all get it. Come here, boy. Come here. Get up here. Come here now. You look good, by the way. You're pretty. You look just like me. Okay. All right. Let me talk to you about something. Where's Ella? Has she come church tonight? Where's she at? Where? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Scott, come play. Come play. Come play. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm done. Now, this boy right here, any one of you could come up and try to hurt him. And he might be a little nervous, but he wouldn't be afraid. Why wouldn't he be afraid? Tell me, why? Because who's there? Daddy's here. This is our verse for the month of June. It's Isaiah 41:13. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Why isn't my boy afraid? Why? Because who's with him? His daddy. Your God is nearer to you than I am to him. Because he is not just with you, he is in you. Fear not. Read this with me. Isaiah 41:13. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." You ought to take that verse. You ought to write it on a 3x5 card and you ought to put it in your dashboard. You ought to look at that verse every single day for the next month. And the devil, because if you ever begin to recognize the feelings of fear, they don't go away, but you'll stop letting them dictate your decisions. When that feeling hits you, you'll start learning to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Now hear me. Walk back, boy. Why would God have to tell you and I to fear not? Because he knows it's not going anywhere. You're never going to arrive at this place where you say, "I'm good." You will when you get to the promised land after you cross Jordan, fear's not going to go away, but you cannot let it dictate trusting God. Let's read it one more time. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.